Now we come to that part of the service described as the fencing of the Lord's table. What we have in the Lord's Supper are tangible symbols in the bread and wine that speak of the sufferings and death of the Lord Jesus Christ. The table is a table which reminds us of the death of Christ. It is also, however, a table of communion. It is called communion in our circles, the Lord's Supper, the communion. And therefore, it is a table that speaks of the communion that the Lord's people have with their Lord himself. And it follows, therefore, that those who gather round the table should be his people. It isn't man's table. There is a sense in which it isn't the church's table either. It is the Lord's table. It is the Lord's supper. And it is the Lord's invitation to which we respond in coming around to remember his death till he come. That means, of course, that the church itself has to exercise great care in the administration of the ordinance. It is for the Lord's people. It is for saved sinners. Before ever a soul comes to the table, they should have examined themselves. That is true of believers as well, of course. But it is true of unbelievers too. They need to examine themselves as to their state before God. And the believer should have examined themselves that they come with a right disposition and spirit to the table. What is required of those who come to the table? Well, coming to the table is not determined by your feelings, personal feelings of worthiness. As if, unless you have a particularly strong sense of worthiness to partake, you should not come. Because the table is not to do with our worthiness, though we may partake unworthily, but it is to do with the worthiness of the Lord Jesus Christ, which those coming to the table fully recognize. It is his worthiness, in a sense, that they're remembering. It is what he did in order to deal with their inherent unworthiness. And if you've been brought to see the meaning of his death as a substitute for sinners, and you have come to love the Savior and to trust in his salvation, trust in him for salvation, then you should be at his table. There must be love to Christ. There must be desire to keep his word. There must, of course, be love for the brethren as well. Because the communion is not only a communion with him, but with others as well. Do you have these things? Then come and welcome. I don't say, are you strong and deeply assured of them? You will have fears and doubts. And you may feel that your love for him and your faith is weak or perhaps even dim. But remember, this is a strengthening ordinance that the Lord has given us. He is accommodating to our weaknesses in a sense, in these tangible symbols that speak of his death, his body broken and his blood shed. Horatius Bonner said, all faith here is imperfect, and our security is this, that it matters not how poor or weak our faith may be, if it touches the perfect one, all is well. Or, as he says elsewhere, an earthenware pitcher can convey water to the traveller's thirsty lips, as well as one of gold. So when we fence the Lord's table, we make a difference. It's a serious thing not to be saved and come to the Lord's table. But it is also a serious thing to be saved and not to come to the Lord's table. That would be denial of the Lord who says, this do in remembrance of me. I'd just like to close by reminding you of the words of our directory for public worship on this. in our standards. The sacrament is a singular medicine for all poor sick creatures, a comfortable help to weak souls, and that our Lord requireth no other worthiness in our part, but that we unfeignedly acknowledge our imperfection. In the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 5, we have the Beatitudes. They summarize the hallmark of a Christian, the marks of a Christian. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. The elements are on the table, and we will sing now in Psalm 118 from verse 15 onwards. And intending communicants are invited to come and take their places around the table here. Now we have our warrant for this ordinance in the first letter of Paul to the Corinthians in chapter 11. And we read from verse 23, "For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he brake it, and said, Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body." And according to the Lord's example, he took bread and gave thanks and broke it. Let us give thanks to the Lord for these elements and this ordinance. Our gracious and loving Father in heaven, how good thou art to us. Thou dost daily load us with benefits, and we are unworthy of them. We come to thee around this table with a sense of unworthiness because of our sinfulness and our want of fruitfulness for thee, for Christ. But we thank thee for this ordinance, for the strengthening of thy people. We thank thee, Lord, for accommodating to our weaknesses in having a service, an ordinance in which we have these physical symbols that point to us to the death of Jesus. The bread broken, speaking of his broken body, and the wine poured out, speaking of his shed blood. We are thankful for these elements and pray, Lord, that as we partake of them, there may be a stirring of faith and love and obedience in our hearts. And so, Lord, receive our thanksgiving today and give thy blessing upon us here around this table. with all our feelings of weakness and unworthiness and sinfulness. Lord, that our minds and hearts would be directed of Thyself to the One who is all worthy, the One in whom there was no sin and is no sin, the One who is His people's surety, and that who is His people's Passover. So look upon us in mercy now, Lord, and guide us in the partaking of this service, these elements. All we ask in Jesus' name and for His precious sake. Amen. Just to direct your thoughts very briefly as we sit on the table to a verse in Revelation chapter 1 and it's verse 5. There's a wonderful description of the Lord Jesus Christ at the beginning of Revelation, the book of Revelation chapter 1. And when we come to this verse 5, we read this: Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead and the prince of the kings of the earth. This is speaking, of course, of the fact that he is now in exalted position. But the praise of the people is to him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. Loved us and washed himself from our sins in his own blood. This is what we're observing in a real sense as we come around the table. There are two elements in that verse, and they have to be taken together. You can't very well understand them apart from one another. The first is, loved us. We can only really understand that, loved us, when we think of the second part of that verse, of that phrase, washed us from our sins in his own blood. But when we think of that, he loved us. This is stated elsewhere. Loved me and gave himself for me. Same sort of conjoining of these two things, the love of the Saviour and his provision for them. And when we sit round here and think of ourselves and think of our sinfulness and think of what we were as well before the Lord graciously saved us, we look at that and think, loved us? How could he love us? What is there to love in us? And we have to say nothing. We deserve condemnation, so we do. But here is a wonderful truth. He loved us. And we know it because he washed us from our sins in his own blood. So think upon this. Meditate upon this as these elements are passed round and as you take the bread and as you sip the wine. He loved me and gave himself for me. This is him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. Reconciliation through the blood of Jesus. And it reminds us of that wonderful verse in John chapter 3 and verse 16. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Among other things, gave him up to the death of the cross, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Jesus gave thanks. He took the bread and gave thanks. And broke it and said, take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. And after the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. As often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye show the Lord's death till he come. Verses 5 and 6 in Revelation chapter 1 don't only tell us about what Jesus has done on our behalf, but they also tell us what Jesus has made us. These things too cannot be separated, what Jesus has done and what he makes us. We read there, "Unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father, to him be glory and dominion for ever and ever. Amen." And here in verse 6, again, we have two things that can't be separated. He makes us kings and priests unto God. One of the features of a king is that they have great riches. And they have great power. And that is what the Christian has. That is what the man or woman who knows Christ, they are made kings unto God and his Father. Kings in that sense, not that they have temporal power, but they have unsearchable riches in the Lord Jesus Christ. And they have power as well. The power of the Holy Spirit. And therefore, they are to live as such. I mean, if you think of a pauper suddenly receiving a great deal of money, becoming rich, you would expect that they would live accordingly. They wouldn't live as they did before. In their poverty, they would now live with the resources that they have been given. And that is how it ought to be for the Christian as well. As you leave the table, think on this. He has made you a king unto God and the Father. You are not to live, as it were, as a spiritual pauper, but as one who is bearing the fruit of the Holy Spirit and reflecting the character of Jesus as king of his people, the character of Jesus as the one who has unsearchable riches. But we're made kings and priests. Priests unto God. What is the feature of a priest? A priest is one who intercedes with the Father, who intercedes with God. You are to be people. You're made priests unto God. You're people who witness and testify concerning the truth of God, concerning the truth as it is in Jesus. And you are people of prayer, intercessors, intercessors, intercessors. And so it's appropriate as we sit at the table that we reflect upon Christ, who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, what we owe to what Christ has done. But that is reflected by how we go from this table as those who have a desire for his service as kings and priests unto him. People who are clear in what they affirm concerning Jesus, in their love for him, in the fact that they will serve him by word and by deed and by devotion. By rejoicing in the unsearchable riches through the power of the Holy Spirit, and also in the place of prayer as men and women humble before God, praying, interceding constantly for themselves and for the church of God. Unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his blood, and hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father. Yes. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. as we leave the table, let us sing to his praise in Psalm 103 and verses 1 to 5.